Today I would like to share about a topic. Number our days. Normally, when would you number your days? The first picture I think of is the birthday cake. One candle, two candles, when the kids are young. Oh, 2 years old, 3 years old. Then we count how many years. We count the days, what we have passed. But how many days left, we don't know. Think about your life. If God comes to ask you tonight, how long would you like to live? Would you like to give a number? I remember when I was a teenager, I went to cycling with my friends. And then afterwards, I know that the cousin of my friend, who was younger than me, by then he must be around 10 or 12 or something, he died in the accident. He was riding a bike, going down a slope, boom, and he hit a car and he died. I was so shocked. I was a few years older than him, then suddenly realized the life is gone. And as I grow older, my grandmother passed away. A few years ago, a 40-year-old man in the prime of his life, he was very successful in his work, and he got cancer. And just before he passed away, he became a believer, thank God. But nobody can believe he was so smart, strong and young, healthy, and suddenly he got cancer and he died. And in recent years, for the past 2 or 3 years, my mother, my father passed away as well. So I can really feel people are dying around me. Close family pass away. And now in my birthdays, I won't put candles on my birthday cake because there is not enough candle in the house. And if I light all the candle will be heavier than the cake. And the cake is not big enough to put all the 60 plus candles on top. And if I light up all the candles, I think the whole room will get hot because of all these candles on top. Then I wonder, how old should I live? If I ask you a question, young boy may think, I want to live longer. I don't know how old you want to be. If I give you a choice, normal people live around 70 or 80, I don't know. But in recent days, people may live longer because of better medical help. How many days left? I'm not asking you how many days have passed, how many birthday cakes you have eaten. I want to ask you, how many days left? We don't know. Look back. Are you having a good life? Are you enjoying your life so far? Any complaints? Moses talked about in Psalm 19, the days of our lives are 70 years. Normal ages, 70 years. For those who are healthy, they can come up to 80 years old. So if the average age, I take it 75, then I count how old I am. Oh, around 10 years more for me. Back. Yet their boast is all only labor and sorrow. Oh, all these years. Sorrow, disappointment. I want to get that house. I want to get that job. I want to do this. Oh, disappointment. Hard labor, study so hard, sorrow, I can't get it. My friend got it. And it is soon cut off, and we fly away. You can't take away anything you have achieved. All these awards, all this treasure you have got, you can't take it away. You just go empty-handed. Who knows the power of your anger? For as the fear of you is, so is your wrath. Teach us to number our days, so we gain a heart of wisdom. So be wise. How many days left? We don't know. Number our days. In Psalm, it says, Lord, make me to know my end. Help me to know my end. What is the measure of my days? How much left? That I may know how frail I am. We are weak. We'll pass away one day. How frail I am. Actually, our days are determined. In Job 14:5, it says, His days are determined. The number of His month is with you. You have appointed His limits so that He cannot pass. So each one, how many days you live on earth, is already determined. God has appointed the limits. Unfortunately, we don't know how much time left. Is it good? If I tell you, you have one more year, would you be happy to know the answer? You have one more year to live? Or 10 more years to live? Do you want to know the time of your death? Better not. I would live in fear. But still, I want to know how much time left. This is such a conflict in my heart or in many people's heart. We want to live longer. We want to enjoy life, isn't it? And there's something difficult, a problem we have. Why do the wicked live and they grow old? If I do being good, can I live long? Does it mean if I do bad things, I'll die young? Look at around you. There are wicked people. They live and they grow old. In Ecclesiastes, it says, though a sinner does evil 100 times, many, many evil things, and his days are prolonged. It's not fair. Where is the God of justice? Yet I surely know that it will be well with those who fear God, who fear before Him. Still, Solomon is saying, but still we better be good. We better be good. But there's an unsolved problem. Why do bad people live long? Why do the wicked live and become old and even become mighty in power? This is a mystery. We think if we do good, live long. Do bad, die young. We try to find an equation, but there's no such thing. God surprises us. Doing good, sometimes you die early. For the wicked are reserved, but actually God has reserved for the day of doom. They shall be brought out on the day of wrath. So God has reserved something for the bad one. Still, we believe that. Still, we better be good. And another question is, why do the righteous die young? Being good, does it mean that you guarantee a long life? How much time left? One incident in the Bible, it tells us, Jeroboam, his son, is sick, and he sent his wife to ask the prophet. And what is the prophet's reply to Jeroboam's wife? Arise therefore, go to your own house. When your feet enter the city, the child shall die. The mother disguised herself, went to see the prophet. Yet the prophet said, your child will die. Why? The child is innocent. Is God unfair? And all Israel shall mourn for him and bury him. Why? For he is the only one of Jeroboam who shall come to the grave, because in him there is found something good. Eh? Because he is good, he can die young. He even die young, but he can have a good burial. Because 'twas the Lord God of Israel in the house of Jeroboam. He has done something good. So in our mind, dying is bad, but in here, this young boy died because he is good. He can have a good burial, whereas the rest of Jeroboam's house, they don't have. So even though we don't know, but God is doing something, He knows what He's doing. Merciful men are taken away. Sometimes they are taken away. Why do good men die? While no one considers is that the righteous is taken away from evil. Ah, now God is telling us something, because something bad is coming. Those who died early is escaped from evil. Ah, so there is a reason. Without God telling us that there are evil coming, we don't know. We think living longer is better. Sometimes God surprises us. He's doing good things. I delivered him from the coming evil times. So there are so many things we don't know about life. We only judge by now. We don't know it's better later or worse later. Sometimes if I got sick, if God healed me, then God is good. If God let me die, then God does not love me. Not necessary. If I live longer, I may suffer even more pain. I may even cause more trouble to my family. I may even brought sin to this world more. Discussion. Why did God let them die early without saving them? There are some people in the Bible as if God did not save them from their trouble. So in your mind, think about this. Actually, I want to let you to discuss to the one sitting next to you. How about Abel? Cain and Abel. God tell Cain, be careful. Sin is crouching before the door. If you not control your anger, one day you'll kill your brother. God warned Cain about this, how to manage his anger. But why don't God warn Abel? Hey, Abel, your brother hates you, jealous with you. He's going to kill you. Escape, go away. Yet God did not seem to warn Abel and let Abel die. Why? You talk to Cain? Why don't you tell Abel to escape? You can save Abel. Many ways God can save him. Why did God let Abel die? I suppose I'll let you discuss. Blah, 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 blah. You talk to the one next to you. Maybe afterwards. Why did God let Abel die? And even more, John the Baptist. He's the pioneer. He goes forerunner for Lord Jesus. But yet he was put into the prison by King Herod and beheaded. Oh no, why do I serve God if I'm John the Baptist? I serve you, Lord. I'm your forerunner. You should save me, deliver me from the jail, set me free, honor me, give me long life. Yet God let him die in prison. Ah, where is the merciful God? Where is the all-wise God? Is God doing something wrong? Another mystery. Our God is a mysterious thinking in his mind. We can't understand. And Stephen, the first martyr in the church, people stoned him to death. People say Paul was there, has a part seeing, heard what Stephen talked about God. Why did God? He performed so much miracle. He delivered the disciples from jail. He can send angels to save his disciples, the apostles. Why does God let Stephen to be the martyr, the first martyr in the church? Is God doing something wrong? He does not enjoy a long life. They do not have a long life. Does God love them or not? Why? 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 Number our days. Count. What is life? What is the meaningful life? The longer the life, the better. Most people in our hearts say, I don't want to die. One incident in Isaiah, when Hezekiah was sick and near death, and God sent Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, went to him and said to him, "Thus says the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die and not live." So God tell Hezekiah that you are going to die. And what is his response? Then Hezekiah turned his face towards the wall. He was so, because he's going to cry. He doesn't want the people to see him cry, so he turned his face to the wall and prayed to the Lord, "Remember me now, O Lord, I pray, how I will have walked before you in truth and with a loyal heart. I've been good, I'm doing good things, I've been loyal to you, and have done what is good in your sight." And he wept bitterly. Well, would you do that if God tells you, "Sorry, you got cancer, you are going to die"? If you were God, would you say yes or no? What would you say? And the word of the Lord came to Isaiah, saying, "Go and tell Hezekiah, thus says the Lord, the God of David, your father, I have heard your prayer. I have seen your tears." Wow, our God is so merciful. He can hear. When you cry, he can see your tears. And then, but Lord willing to change his mind, "I will add to you 50 more years, add to your days 50 more years. So he can't, Hezekiah doesn't want to die. Okay, the Lord gave you 15 more years. Is it the longer the better? What happens is, then he gives birth to a son. Within that 15 years, he gives birth to a son called Manasseh. Manasseh was 12 years old when he became king. So after Hezekiah died, 12 years old. So this 12 years old son must be born within the last 15 years, isn't it? So the Lord extend Hezekiah's life. What did he get? He got a son. And this son reigned 55 years in Jerusalem. He's the longest reigning king in Judah. Now, if we look further down, we know Manasseh has done a lot of bad things in Judah. And yet, he was longest on the throne. Why? Why does the... Is it the longer life, the longer we live, the better we are? Then we see, "Therefore the Lord brought upon them the captains of the army of the king of Assyria, who took Manasseh with hopes." So judgment came to Manasseh because he has done a lot of bad things. So the Lord used Assyrian king to took Manasseh with hooks, bound him with bronze fetters and carried him off to Babylon. And then when Manasseh was in affliction, he implored the Lord his God and humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers. So he repented after all. He has done lots of bad things, and yet he repented. So the Lord, it seems that 55 years, the Lord is waiting for his repentance. The Lord has waited for a very long time for this king to come back to him. Long time, short time. I want longer life. Longer life. Give you a bad son. The bad son rules long because Lord gives you time to repent. Then Manasseh knew the Lord. There's some word missing down there. Then Manasseh knew that the Lord is God. Then he knows the Lord is God. So the longer the time is for us to know that the Lord is God himself. So actually, brothers and sisters, what I'm telling you today is not about how long we live. How many birthday candles more you can blow. It's not how long we live. But during this life, what is the meaningful life in the rest of our days? What do we know about God himself in these days is most important. It's not how long you live. 10 years, so what? 20 years, so what? 100 years old, so what? Does it mean anything? What do you know about God? We know God is love. In His love, we can see His patience and mercy. So just like Manasseh, the Lord is not slack concerning, in 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So sometimes the evil man done a lot of hundreds of evil things, still long life. God gave him many chances to come to repentance. So if you see someone living a long life, not following God, we can see God is patient with him, giving him time to repentance. You may sit here when you were young, coming to church, coming to Sunday school, but yet you are not following him. One day when you grow old, still the Lord is giving you time to come back to him. So we know God is love. God is a patient God. He shows mercy, long suffering. People complained about you. Why such an evil man? Can't you do something? Yet the God is giving him time to repentance, like Manasseh. Second thing is, what do we know about God? God is sovereign and wise. In Pharaoh, when we look at Exodus, at the time of Pharaoh and Moses, but indeed for this purpose I have raised you up. So God raised up Pharaoh. He seems to be rebellious towards God, rejecting God, but yet still the Lord allowed Pharaoh to be there, and that I may show my power in you. So the 10 plagues in Egypt, God is demonstrating his power, and that my name may be declared in all the earth. So God is ruling, even though we see Pharaoh was rebellious towards God. But God is more powerful than Pharaoh. Not only that, in Habakkuk is the prophet at the time. God, he sees many sin in Judah, and he cried to God, God, why don't you do something? Why don't you judge the wicked people? And then God say to him, look among the nation and watch. Be utterly astounded, for I will work a work in your days which you would not believe. God is doing something extraordinary. Though it were told you, you won't believe it. Even I told you, you can't believe it. What are you going to do? For indeed, I'm raising up the Chaldeans, that is the Babylonians, to come. A bitter and a hasty nation which marches through the breadth of the earth to possess dwelling places that are not theirs. They are terrible and dreadful people. Are you not from everlasting, O Lord my God, but my Holy One? We shall not die, O Lord. You have appointed them for judgment. O Rock, you have marked them for correction. So it's telling us God used evil people to judge the sin in his people. Oh, this is marvelous. We think God will punish the evil people. But how about your sin? How can you be corrected? We can see other people sin, but we realize you have sinned as well. He is a liar, but actually you lie as well. So one day God used the evil people to correct you, to judge your own sin. Why? God is using the bad people for his judgment. In Isaiah, it says, "Woe to Assyria, the roar of my anger." So not God is not using Babylonians. God also used Assyria, the roar of my anger. God are using these evil people to accomplish His will. So if you are not perfect, you think God, oh, God will send someone, a loving teacher around you. Oh, do this, be good. Nah, God will send someone evil to let you learn a lesson, to let us learn. So we may complain about God, how come there are so many evil people around me? Well, God is using them to help us to learn some lesson, because we are not being good before God. God wants to educate us, help us to learn by using people around us. They may be even bad people, cause you to suffer, cause you to humble yourself before God, so that we can learn a lesson. We always think God will send good teacher. Yes, they are good teacher, but they may be evil as well. God may use Pharaoh to teach Israelites a lesson. God can use Babylonians to teach you. God can use Assyrian people to teach you. God can use Iran to teach you. God can use America to teach you a lesson. God can use all the people around to teach you, to bring His people back to Him. So God is sovereign and He is wise. But God is also just. The Lord has made all for Himself. Yes, even the wicked for the day of doom. So one day, all the evilness, God is going to punish. The field is the world in Matthew. The good seeds are the sons of the kingdom, but the tares are the sons of the wicked ones. The enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are the angels. Therefore, as the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of this age. So at the end of this age, there will be fire burned. So there will be judgment one day. We may not see fair judgment in this life. It seems the bad people are prosperous. It seems the good ones are shattered, suffered, live in sorrow. It seems something is wrong. We want God to punish the evil immediately. Imagine a picture like this. A mother always correcting his son. Don't eat that, don't eat that, don't eat that. Too much sugar, don't drink that, don't drink that. But when the mother stops the child to do the wrong thing, isn't it? When we were young, our parents are treating us like that. Don't eat that. Not good for your health. Enough. No more chips. Someone is responding to me. No more chips. How about when the mother is not here? Would the mother, the boy not eating the chips is because of the mother warning? If you eat the chips, I'm going to punish you. Yeah? When the mother is not here, would the child eat it? He may eat it. He may suffer. Then he may learn the lesson. He doesn't believe the mother. Then when the mother allowed him to make mistake, and the boy learned from his mistakes, then he really learned something. So we think God, if He stopped all the bad things happen, man would learn. Not necessary. Until we commit mistakes and realize the consequences are so serious, then we regret, then we repent, isn't it? So if God stops the snake, and snake cannot tempt Eve, can we know Eve and Adam are obedience to God or not? If God stopped Satan. When God withdrawn His presence, now they are put to the test, isn't it? Even though they make mistakes, Later on, they realize, they learn something. God still loves them. God is providing forgiveness, salvation through Christ. So God sometimes stand back, allow people to make mistakes. Then they learn something from their mistakes. If God always stop the bad things happen, we don't realize bad things, the consequences of bad things, isn't it? Unless we taste the outcome, then we learn something. So God is willing to let us suffer sometimes in order to learn something. That means God is wise. He knows what He's doing. He has a purpose. And also, He has His time. He knows when. He knows how long we should live. I am the true vine, and my Father is the wine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. He won't allow that something wasted, not bearing fruit, He takes away. If something in your life that hinders you to bear fruits, He will take it away. My wife sometimes grows some plants. I learned that sometimes the flower, after flowering, you need to cut off, otherwise it draws the nutrients to it. So they cut off the flowers, and then the bare fruits will be the fruits will be better. Not so the Lord takes away something from you sometimes. You feel the pain. You feel it's being cut off. You feel it's a loss. You may cry out to God, "Why did you do this to me?" That it may bear more fruit. God wants you to bear more fruits. There's a purpose. God has a purpose. And in His time, He knows when to clip it off, cut it off, so that you can bear more fruits. Think about your life. Think about what you have experienced. Think about what you have lost. Think about the pain you have gone through. Think about the joy you have. Think about the consequence that brings to your life. God wants us to bear more fruits. So, if this is the growing stages of the plant, when would I pick it up? It seems, if this is you, infants, if this is you, 5 years old, 10 years old, 20 years old, 40 years old, 50, 60, 70, 80 years old, when is the best time of your life? Outwardly, when I'm 30 or 40, I'm the best. But spiritually, when is the best? The farmer knows when to take out the crops from the field. If you don't take up the crops at the right time, it may wither and die. The longer, it's getting bad, worse, isn't it? So if I'm growing tomato, this is the best time. The fruit is the best time. So I pluck it up at that time. But if I leave it there, it may continue, it may wither. So the farmer must know the time. This is the purpose. This is the sweetest stage it can reach. So at that time, maybe you are 20 years old. At that time, maybe you are 40 years old. He take you away to Him. So some people leave the earth. Some saints leave the earth at 20. Some saints leave the earth to meet with the Lord at 40, 60, 80 years old. Some people keep on bearing fruits when they are 80 years old. So the Lord knows when is the best time, the highest yield. In Isaiah chapter 28, when I read this passage and think about this passage, I think it's an amazing passage. It talks about farming. It talks about God is telling Isaiah, give ear and hear my words. Listen and hear my speech. Does the plowman keep plowing all day to sow? You know, the plowman, the plow, you know, dig the field, loosen the soil. Every digging, you feel, oh, the Lord is hitting me, taking away something from me. Why? Does he keep turning his soil, breaking the clods? Keep turning. Does the Lord do this meaninglessly, just continuing beating you up? No. To loosen the soil. Beat you 5 times, loosen, then that's good. Otherwise, beat you 10 times, beat you 20 times, then you start to lose. Sometimes we are so hard in our hearts. Beat you. Breaking the clods so we won't stuck, breaking it to pieces. When he has leveled the surface, does he not sow the black cumin and scatter the cumin and plant the wheat in rows and barley in the appointed place and the spelt in its place? Now, I do not know much about agriculture. I don't know what's the look of black cumin or cumin or wheat or barley or spelt. But it tells us that there's some very good knowledge in there. After you break the clods, you know you need to sow it, plant it at the right place, the appointed place, and in its place. Do you know where to plant it? Some plants is the best place. Some needs acidic soil, some needs alkaline soil, some needs sunny places, some needs a lot of water. I don't know. I don't know how to plant. But the farmers know where to plant. So God put you here. God put you in Calgary. God put you in this family. God put you in this workplace. God put you there to plant you. Appointed place and his place. God put you there for a purpose. He is not keeping plow, hitting the soil has no meaning. Because hitting the soil, breaking the cloth is to plant some seed. He may plant you some, let you be more merciful. He may plant, try to make your life has more wisdom, more patience in your life. Cumin, spelt. I don't know what God is doing in your life, but he knows, for he instructs him in right judgment. He's God teaching him. And now, when it's the time, what would the farmer do? The black cumin is not fresh with a threshing sledge. Threshing sledge, it seems to be there's a wooden board with some rocks at the bottom or some nails at the bottom. When something pulled along the sledging head, it's like this. It will try to break the, take the plants out from the soil. So some plants use this method, threshing sledge, to pull it out. Nor is a cartwheel rolled over the cumin. I don't know what a cartwheel looks like. You can do it, Google search. Threshing sledge, cartwheel. Something is beaten with a stick and the cumin with a rod. He knows which tools he should use. For this guy, I need a rod. Boom, boom, boom. For this kid, I need a stick. Psh, psh, psh. And he learns. And then he grows. And this one, sledging, sledging. That guy needs a cartwheel. So God is using different methods to bring out the fruits, the crops he wants in your life. So our God is wise. Bread flour must be brown. He knows how to treat it. When he's taken it out, he knows how to deal with it. Therefore, he does not thresh it forever. Whoa, is it, why am I doing this? Is it forever? Again and again and again. Break it with his cartwheel or crush it with his horseman. God has different methods. God can use many tools. God can use many people around you doing different works in your life. Our God is wise. This also comes from the Lord of hosts, who is wonderful in counsel and excellent in guidance. So, dear friends, brothers and sisters, it tells us that our life It's not just breathing, eating, blowing birthday candles. God is planting something, planting Christ in our life. Using different tools, using different people, using different environment to cause us to grow in Him. So is it a short life? We just think of the time. Lord, is it 10? If I'm 65, normal life is 75 or 80. Oh, I better do the countdown. I have 10 more years. How am I going to spend these 10 more years? Or 20 more years? Or 30 more years? It may seem a lot, but it may seem not enough. But the thing is, not many people come to average 75. Some people may die young because God thinks it's the good time. Your bearing fruit is the maximum at this time. So this is the best time for you to come to me. So we don't know the time. So what we can do is make sure you make the best of your day to grow. Growing more, growing more. Be more like Christ. Be more like Christ. So still you are growing. Still you are bearing fruits. That's what we should do, isn't it? It's in God's heart. What is a meaningful life? Jesus said, it's quoted from Psalm, "Behold, I've come to do your will." Jesus does not live a long life, around 33, but his whole life is meaningful. Not wasted a day. "I come to do your will." And when Jesus received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." His whole life is short. His ministry seems to be a few years on earth, public ministry. But it is finished. So a meaningful life does not depend on how long you live. You may live 100 years old, but wasted a lot of time. How many time left? We don't know. But a meaningful life accomplished what is before Him. It is finished. In 2 Timothy, what is a meaningful life? "I'm already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand." He knows he's leaving soon. So what is a meaningful life? "I have fought the good fight. There's a fight before me, and I've done it. I have finished the race. God wants me to finish the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there's laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all those who have loved his appearing." So fought the good fight. Have you fought the good fight? A meaningful life is you have done your part. You have fought the good fight. Finished the race. You have not given up. You completed it. Kept the faith. You are not fallen down or be knocked down, knocked out. You keep the faith. And the last picture, when I think of Jacob, I think it's especially meaningful to me suddenly when I think of this few words there. When Jacob has finished commanding his sons, he drew his feet up to into the bed. Wow, the Bible especially described this action. Put his feet up into his bed. I like this picture. Why? He has been, when he was born, we can see he's running around, doing this, doing that. So busy in his life, his journey on life, on earth. Going down to Egypt to meet his son, Joseph, And now giving up, finished commanding his son. He finished his journey, drew his feet. He doesn't have to run any longer. Finish completely, successfully. Drew his feet up into his bed. Oh, I like this. Have you finished your race? And breathed his last and was gathered to his people. So one day we'll be gathered before the Lord. Can we say we finish our journey, kept the faith? So it does not depend how many times we have left, but how we live. So let us be wise, knowing how frail we are, knowing that God has a purpose and has his time. He knows what he is doing. So let us be faithful to him. Let us bow down and pray. Father, we thank you. Teach us to number our days. Let us know the measure of our days. And let us be wise, knowing that it's not how long we live, but how we live a meaningful life, to be faithful to you. And let our life continue to bear more fruits each day. Teach us to be faithful and not wasting our time on earth. Let us know and see you are giving us time to repent, to know you more and more. So this is our prayer today. Help us, Lord, to count our days and be wise in our life. In Jesus' name we prayed. Amen.